A question for you, and this is going to be our new series of lessons we're going to start this morning. We're going to be talking about and looking at this particular question: do you believe? Okay, now this is going to be a focus that's a little bit different than what you might otherwise think, okay? Because the full question is this: do you believe God? Okay, do you believe God? All right, let's talk for just a moment about this, the words belief, believe, believers. In the New Testament, the Greek language, we're going to talk about Greek for just a moment. You will not be Greek scholars. I know enough Greek to be dangerous, as I've told you before. But let me share with you the significance of a couple of words here in the Greek language for believe and belief and so forth. First of all is the Greek word pistuo. And that word is a verb, okay? And it's interesting to me that in the gospel accounts, the other three gospel writers use the word belief as a verb. And I think the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, use it like 17 or 18 times combined, all three of them. John uses this word 99 times in his gospel. It is always a verb. Now, you remember anything about your English language, what does that tell you? It is an action word. Okay? And so look at this definition. To believe, also to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in, to trust. And look at the last part here. It signifies, in this sense of the word, reliance upon, not mere credence. In other words, not just intellectual acknowledgement. All right, so in the New Testament, when we read this word belief, especially in John's gospel, think action. Okay? So another word, the associated with this, the noun version of this word, faith, all right, its chief significance is a conviction respecting God and His Word. And look at this last part, the believer's relationship to Him. Okay, so as a noun, that word is focusing on a relationship with the one that you have this belief in. All right. Now, there's another part of this. The negative form of this, apisteo, is basically the word that is used for disbelief or for unbelief. All right, so there's a little Greek lesson for you just to be able to understand the significance of these words, because when we read and we think about belief and believe in answer to that question, do you believe, we oftentimes don't think of it in the way that the writers of the New Testament intended for it, and I'll explain that to you in just a second. In other words, here's a way that we oftentimes talk. We think of different things you believe in. Someone says, do you believe in magic? Okay. How about miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in ghosts? Okay. Do you believe in destiny? And we can plug in the blank there, all kinds of things. Do you believe in fate? All kinds of different things that people ask that question. Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in God? Well, for most people, if you ask them that question, they're going to say, yeah, I believe in God. Right? And for most of them, we'll talk about that here in just a moment again, they're not thinking in terms of the word, the definition we just talked about. They're talking about intellectual acknowledgement. Okay? Here's the real question I want us to focus on throughout this study. Okay? Not do you believe in God, but do you believe God? There's a big difference between those two, is what I'm going to be suggesting throughout this series of lessons. A big difference between simply believing in God and believing God. Okay? So again, there's that question. Do you believe in God? And most people would say yes. I believe that God exists. I believe that there's a higher power. I believe, and they'll go on and talk about their belief in God, His existence. The problem is that most people do not believe God. Okay? Even those say, well, yes, I believe in God, and they say, well, I have a relationship with Him. I'm a Christian, and I'm striving to live the best that I can. But most people don't really believe God, even those who strongly profess to believe in God. Why do I say that? Because if they truly believed God, then their behavior would reflect that belief. Here's a question for you to think about, not just through this lesson, but throughout this series of lessons we're going to be in. How would your life change if you were to stop just believing in God and start believing God? How would your life change? That's a challenge for you to be thinking about as we study all these different topics we're going to look at. How would your life change? So there's a challenge for you, okay? What are we going to be talking about? Well, this study is about a lot of things that God has promised us. Promises of God in His Word. Okay? How are we responding to His Word, specifically to His promises? In other words, quite simply, do you believe God's promises? Do you believe Him when He says these things? And that's a whole lot different than just simply saying, yes, I believe in God. Do you believe Him when He makes His promises? We're talking about belief or disbelief. And again, that is shown by our action, by our behavior, whether or not we truly believe Him or not. So let's take a moment here and look at Abraham and the text that was read for us as we began. From James chapter 2, James is talking about belief. And look at what he says about Abraham. Okay? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Now, what is James talking about here? Well, he's arguing against the idea where some people say, well, all you have to do is believe in God. You don't have to do anything. Well, that's not true according to what James is saying. It's not just a matter of believing in God, and certainly not that intellectual acknowledgement saying, yes, God exists. But it's a matter of that verb that says, yes, I believe in God, and my belief is proven by the way that I'm living my life. Our faith goes together with our actions. Our actions then complete or make perfect our faith. But look at what he says next, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or credited to him, some of your translations say, as righteousness. Now, what I want you to focus on here is, it doesn't say Abraham believed in God. It says Abraham believed God. And that's the part I want you to really focus on. I want you to zero in on believing God. Not just believing in God, but believing God. The writer of Hebrews goes on to help us to understand how Abraham's faith was working, okay, in his response to what God had told him. That he believed God in the things that he had told him, in the promises that God had made to him. And Abraham, because he believed God, he responded to what God had told him to do. Look at what the writer says. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. And look at that, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, won't you, this is my paraphrase, okay? Pack your bags, I got somewhere I want you to go. And Abraham obeyed, and he went. Okay. Why? Because he believed God. God had made promises to Abraham about this inheritance, see, and about his future. And the blessings that God was going to give, not just him, but the world through Abraham. And Abraham believed God. And he was accounted as righteous because he believed God. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. That's what I just spoke about, those promises that God made to Abraham. They were heirs also of those promises. Look at the last part. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So you see, it goes back to the promises. Do you believe God when he makes promises? Abraham did. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. There it is again. You see, it's all about the promise. Believing God, again, is not just an issue of saying, yes, God exists. Believing God goes back to the foundation of his promises, that God says, here's how I'm going to bless your life. Here's what I want you to do, and here's what I'm going to do in response. And by the way, in this series, we're going to be looking at some things that God says, here's what I don't want you to do. And if you do these things, here's what's going to happen. Again, the same question, do you believe him? Okay? They believed the promises that God made. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, in other words, he was too old to physically bear children. His body, some translates say, was dead. He was too old to bear children, but yet God fulfilled his promise through him. He had descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashores. Why? Because he believed God. By faith. And look at this next part here. When God tested him. How many ever felt like you've been tested by God? And through some tough stuff, right? Yeah, God does that from time to time. And we might say, why? Why does he do that? Because he's God. Okay? Because he's God. Why did he do it to Abraham? He wanted to test his faith. And sometimes God will do that with you and I. And it goes back to the very same question. When God has made you a promise, do you believe him? And you prove whether or not you believe him by obeying him through the test. And so God tested Abraham. He offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced, and there it is again, the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. In other words, Abraham didn't know. He didn't know for sure that God could raise the dead, but he reasoned that he could. He must be able to. Why? Because he had promised him that Isaac was going to be the one who would be his heir of the promise. So how would that happen if Isaac died? Well, perhaps God can raise the dead. But I'm going to do what God tells me to do. You see, it all keeps going back to those promises, doesn't it? And that's what I want you to be thinking about. Do you believe God? There's the question. Do you believe Him? In your life, do you believe God? Again, we have a choice. We can either simply believe in God or we can believe God. Is believing in God enough? Well, go back to James. In verse 19, before the text that we had read earlier, James says this, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble or shudder. They know God exists." And that brings fear into their hearts because they know what His promises are to those who have disobeyed Him, including the angels. Their fate is already sealed. They believe God. Believing in God, is that a proper, is that a right Bible idea or concept? Absolutely. Help me out here. John chapter 3 and verse 16, what does it say? Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son," why? "That whoever believes in Him would not perish but have life everlasting," right? So indeed, believe in Him. But that's not, again, just credence or intellectual acknowledgement. It is believing in, thus living my life according to His will. Do you believe God? The challenge that I am issuing to all of us, myself included, is to not be satisfied with just believing in God, but to step it up a notch, okay? Raise the level of belief, if you will, okay, to this idea of saying simply, "I believe God. When He tells me this, I truly believe Him." Okay? We're talking about, do you believe His promises? Do you believe His warnings? There are a bunch of those we're going to look at. Okay. Let me just give you an example of what we're going to talk about here so you'll better understand where we're going with all this. One example is that we're going to study intently, okay, is the whole idea of forgiveness. Okay? When God says to forgive other people, as we have been forgiven, He also says, "For if you forgive men their sins when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you." Those are promises. And the question is, do you believe Him? If you truly believe Him, how will that change the way you respond to other people? That's an example of what we're going to be studying in the remainder of this series of lessons. His promises and His warnings. Okay? How will believing God affect your daily life? Just think about that for just a moment. How would that affect your daily life and the things that you do? Okay? What would you change or do different? If you really intently began to focus on believing God, taking Him at His word, in other words. And here's another one. How would your relationships be different? All of them. how would your relationships be different? Whether it's your marriage, your relationship with your parents, with your children, with your coworkers, your boss, your employees, how would those relationships change? If you really focused intently on believing God. You see, here's what God, and this is what I want you to be really thinking about. Here's what God is saying to you and I. We're going to stand together in just a moment and sing a song. It's an invitation that we offer this opportunity for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, I need some encouragement, I need some prayers, I need some guidance, I need forgiveness. I'm ready to become a Christian. Whatever it is you need help with, that's what we want to do, and we offer this time as an invitation to be able to come and say, hey, here's what I need. Please help me with that. And while we're singing that song that Wes has chosen for us, here's the question that God is asking you and that I want you to be focused on, okay? That God is saying to you, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Dale is going to be in the back. Anybody that would like to go back there and have a private prayer or conversation with him, Jerry and I will be right up here in the front. If you, again, you need prayers, you need guidance, you need encouragement, you need to study, and especially if there's anyone here who's not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, it's a great opportunity for you to do that. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make a commitment to make Him Lord of your life. You can do that right now. Call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let us know. But we can't serve you if we don't know what your need is. So we offer this invitation. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?